There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's hour three on this Thursday here in Scottsdale, Arizona. Beautiful day once again here at the ballpark. Scottsdale Stadium, home of the San Francisco Giants, and I want to thank them again. We did have to sign waivers earlier this morning. At around 6:20 this morning, a person came out of the office here and said, you got to sign these waivers. And I said, okay. And Fritzy read the fine print, and it did talk about cremation if you got hit by a pitch.
So we're just going to hit a couple of balls down in the basement of the arena.
Although we did want to face 100 miles an hour. And they had different baseballs in there. So they said if you get hit by these baseballs, it'll feel like a paintball. You know, playing paintball. And I go, that's still going to hurt.
Yeah, why'd they need to know if we're donating our organs, though?
And Fritzy jumped in, and he's facing a guy named Pedro who's throwing about maybe 60 miles an hour.
No helmets, by the way.
No.
So that guy, I was a little concerned. I signed this waiver. I thought at least I'd get a batting helmet out of it.
Yeah. We asked for the Barry Bonds elbow protection, but they wouldn't give us that. Yes, he.
I think the real danger, and somebody brought this up off air before, the real danger of the 100 mile an hour fastball with real balls is fouling it off of your foot.
Oh.
You know, I mean, that I remember how much that hurts, and the ball definitely wasn't going 100 miles an hour, but all of a sudden you get a piece of one, and it just nicks your ankle or the top of your foot or something. Dang.
Yes, Todd.
And do you really trust those machines? He's just dropping a ball into this. At any moment, this machine can go awry, and all of a sudden the ball could be coming right in your hand.
Why do you think the worst-case scenario
because it's just a machine.
Everything.
They can line it up all they want, and 1,000 times it can go right down the middle.
Every time we're around each other, you're always thinking the worst-case scenario.
I do, and I don't want to be Mr. Negative. But that's all I could think of. That's the main reason why I didn't go in there. It's like, all of a sudden, it's going to go slightly to the left or the right for whatever reason when he drops the ball in, and then one of us, you know, something horrible happens.
Well, we got it on videotape, and I think we fouled off a couple of them at 100 miles an hour. The Hundy didn't scare me. The 92-mile-an-hour slider that was dipping down, that one did. That's where you're, you know, they make it look easy sometimes. Certain hitters where you go, man, you know, that looked easy. I can do whatever I want. I own that guy. But when you get in there and you start to see those pitches with movement, that's where, you know, hitters have problems. The fast, you know, throwing 100 miles an hour, they don't have a problem with that. But when it has movement on it, that's when you have some problems. Yes, Marvin.
There was also some Mick Jagger duck lips on one of those swings, too, where he was like, "Stop me up!"
Was that one of my swings?
Yeah, one of his swings. I mean, you can see.
What are
you
talking about?
He was pursing his lips.
Oh, Fritzy's got scrunchy Mick Jagger face?
He had the Joe Cocker.
Oh, yeah.
And then he had the Mick Jagger. I was like, man, is Fritzy all right?
If you've ever seen John Mayer play guitar, and he does, you know, it's John Mayer guitar face, that's what Fritzy had.
You make a grown man cry.
No.
Call me.
No. Yeah, I don't know if that's going to scare the pitcher. There it is, right there.
What is that?
I think we may have to make a T-shirt out of that.
There is just such an intensity to your swing that, like you're really trying to bring the guy in from second.
I was taking it seriously.
Yeah,
it didn't show in the results, but I was like, I want to really show.
No, the person who took it seriously was Paulie. Paulie goes, let me see, I'm 12 for 18. I go, Paulie, it's okay.
But my expectations were so low. I was really nervous to even step in. I've never done it. Never done it. It was fun though. It was weird.
Yeah, but it was fun. You know, just to know what that feels like. And I said, you're going to be able to hear 100 miles an hour. You're going to hear 100. And that to me, just saying that when you get into the batter's box is pretty cool. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. The Premier League is on NBC and Peacock. Can Newcastle continue their stellar play and further climb up the table as they take on Bournemouth February 11th on NBC and Peacock? Peacock is also our streaming partner. Download the app, and you can watch for free. We say good morning to our radio affiliates. And once again, the big news, Kevin Durant is coming to Arizona, and not for the Super Bowl. traded last night to the Phoenix Suns, and they're all in, but they had the second best DraftKings odds to win it all behind the Boston Celtics. And the Lakers made a move. They got, you know, D'Angelo Russell. They traded away Russell Westbrook. I don't know if Russ stays in Utah because he certainly doesn't fit in with their future. Did you see the number of first-round draft picks the Utah Jazz have over the next 5 years? I mean, it's crazy. Danny Ainge stockpiling like 15 first-round draft picks here. It's like Utah and Oklahoma City. They've all stockpiled first-round draft picks. Yeah, Paul.
Do you think teams like that think we can't necessarily get huge free agents to come to this market, so we have to do it the old-fashioned way? That'd be the only thing. Because Oklahoma City, it's no offense, but I think there's some cities or franchises that don't do as well in the free agency market. But if you look at Oklahoma City, Josh Giddey, Holmgren, they do seem like they have a good base if he's healthy, Holmgren.
Yeah, but those are all draft picks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that that's what's different about them. You know, they drafted Kevin Durant, and they drafted James Harden, and they drafted Russell Westbrook. Yes. Yes, Mark.
Yeah, you got to think like Donovan Mitchell, Darren Williams, like those guys that became stars in Utah.
Yeah.
They never made it really to, I guess, their second contract.
Poll question for the final hour is going to be what there, Seton O'Connor?
Dan, we went with off of Roger Goodell's comments. Officiating right now in the NFL has never been better or worse.
Mm. Okay.
You want to go with, you want to take a guess?
Well, it feels like it's put on a tee for people to.
87% guess. Say it's worse right now.
Well, but I don't think, you know, how satisfied can we be? Like, at what level do you go, okay, I'm satisfied? But you don't want to be satisfied. You want them to just get the calls right, or you feel like they're getting the calls right a majority of the time. Yeah, Paul.
People are unsatisfiable. If they call holding, like, why are they calling holding? That was such a great play. If they don't call holding, that was an obvious hold. You know, like, some people want less calls overall.
Kyrie Irving scored 24, his Mavs debut. They beat the Clippers. First time that he has won his debut with a new team. He previously lost his first games with the Cavs, Celtics, and the Nets. He had some interesting comments when he found out that Kevin Durant had been traded to the Phoenix Suns. Here's Kyrie Irving.
In competition as brothers, you know, I'm just praying for his happiness and praying for his well-being. We had a lot of conversations throughout the year of, you know, what our futures were going to look like. There was still a level of uncertainty, but we just cared about seeing each other be places that we can thrive. And whether that be together or whether that be apart, there's never been one moment where I felt like he's been angry at me for the decisions I've made or I've been angry at him. We've just tried to understand each other a lot better and grow as human beings, grow as brothers. You know, his business changes so quickly. He's getting a little bit older. I'm getting a little bit older. I just love the competition now that we can be in the same conference, and I welcome all that. You know, get to see him a little bit more, probably playing against Phoenix a lot more, and that's what I'm looking forward to. Everything else in between, I just am glad that he got out of there.
He got out of there. Didn't you guys want to go there? You guys wanted to go there.
Yeah, but they should be allowed to want to go someplace and then have it not work out and want to leave, right?
Yeah, but they make it seem like that this was this hellhole that they didn't want to go there in the first place. They went there, helped create. They got their coach they wanted. He didn't want to play, didn't want to get vaccinated. And, I mean, he's not a guy who plays that often. And he said that he's a selfless leader. Well, he was a selfish non-leader because he didn't play. And, you know, now he's saying, hey, I'm glad he got out of there. Kevin Durant seemed like he was in a pretty good situation there moving forward with this. But I, you know, trying to figure out troubleshoot Kyrie, wonderful player, but I don't spend a whole lot of time trying to get into his noggin. Yeah, Seton.
I mean, Kyrie wanting out, I think you could look at it being like, well, that's a Kyrie thing, right? KD also wanting out feels like, well, it might be an organizational thing.
Yeah, but he wants out now because... Did Kevin Durant want out 2 weeks ago, a week ago?
Yeah, I mean, there have been rumors about him wanting out for a long time.
Well, that was because the last time that Kyrie said, hey, I want to be traded.
Yeah.
Then KD said, all right, well, we're either in this together to try to win a championship. If Kyrie still wanted to be there and said, look, I'll prove to you, I'm going to be great the rest of the season, hopefully you give me a contract. Does Kevin Durant want out of that organization? Probably not.
It might be more like, let's go to Brooklyn and build our own thing, and it'll be awesome. And then they got there, and they found out it's a lot harder to do that. And KD was like, I'll just join Phoenix instead then. You know, because that's just like he did with the Warriors. It's a lot easier to be that last piece in rather than the first one on the ground floor.
Durant is not coming cheap. The Suns coughed up four future first-round picks. Also, Mikal Bridges is a really good player. Durant's 34. You still have DeAndre Ayton. But Chris Mannix, who covers the NBA for Sports Illustrated, said, you know, they probably tried to move DeAndre Ayton to the Nets, but the Nets didn't want him. You got Chris Paul, who's 37, and certainly no whispers. It's more of just talking out loud that he's nowhere near what he once was, but you can expect that. Durant can still score with the best of them, and they have the second-best odds right now, according to DraftKings, to win it all behind the Boston Celtics. And I said this 2 days ago to you guys when we started the show. I said, there's a chance Kevin Durant's going to be moved. And I was told that, you know, Boston, that was a really distinct possibility. I didn't know the possibility with the Phoenix Suns. I think that surprised a lot of people. I'm not surprised he's moved. I was surprised that he went to Phoenix Suns. Yeah, Paulie?
I'm curious how history is going to treat Kevin Durant. He's, you know, one of the great scorers, probably the biggest mismatch in NBA history, I think it's fair to say. He averages 28 a game on a bad year, but he's got two titles, and those titles will, I wouldn't say asterisk, but some people will use that against him because he had to go there for them. I'm just curious if he's going to be treated as an all-time great or just behind the all-time greats.
Well, how long do you go down the list where you're still an all-time great? Is top 15 an all-time great?
Yeah.
Is top 20 an all-time great?
Yeah. Yeah, but like Tim Duncan's ahead of him. Guys like Tim Duncan are ahead of him because titles and stuff. I don't know. I'm just curious if it's going to treat him well and treat him with the respect, or it's going to be more like he was a freak. He was uncoverable, but his career could have been better.
Well, I think because of the injuries, Durant is a top 15 player, feels like, of all time. Marv.
And I feel like when he went to Golden State, I think he thought he was going to get the treatment that LeBron did when he went to Miami. Like, all right, MVP awards, LeBron got two of those in Miami. And then he got those championships, all right, best player in basketball, bar none. Kevin Durant won those two titles. They were like, this is like the kill team. You pick the five best players on the 5-on-5, and you play pickup, and you guys don't lose the entire day. Like, well, of course. And on top of that, they won before him, and they won after him, which kind of hurts Kevin Durant.
Wonder if he had stayed at Golden State. Couple more titles.
Not two, not three. Yeah. That's one of those.
Yes,
right.
But now all of a sudden, yes. Are we going to ding him because he joined Steph Curry's team? Yes. But having those titles, at the end of the day, it's all about how many titles do you have? That's what we're looking at with LeBron. And, we don't even factor in Tim Duncan and Kobe and Magic with the number of titles they have. We don't bring those up ever. It's Jordan's titles, LeBron's titles. Now, you throw in Bill Russell, and then you're like, all right, well, that's not fair. That was a different generation. It's about winning titles here. That's what we're doing with Patrick Mahomes. It's about winning titles. How many titles are you going to have? How many appearances in conference title games? How many Super Bowl appearances are you going to have? That's where you measure greatness. Yeah, Paulie?
Durant is fourth all-time in points per game in NBA history, behind only Michael Jordan, Wilt Chamberlain, and Elgin Baylor at 28 points per game. I'm serious.
Stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
Pop. Stat of the day is brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. But Kevin Durant's going to end up with, what, 30,000 points? It's all said. How many? What's Durant have right now?
Well, he's getting the book.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. But he's, Durant's 34. And he's a mid-range jump shooter. You can do that for, another 5 years at least. Yeah, Mark.
Also, that toe on the three-point line, I think me and Fritzy were at this game where he hit that shot to tie the game instead of winning. Exactly.
Yeah.
That changes history because the Bucks are out. Maybe the Nets win. And if the Nets win that title, it's a whole different category. It's almost like LeBron's title in Cleveland. Like, all right, I can do it over here also. So I just thought about that. That foot on the line thing. So close.
And I think you just want to say you were at the game.
With Fritzy.
Yeah, with Fritzy.
And my son. And Fritzy's son.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
He loves his kids.
Yeah. Yes, Paulie.
Kevin Durant's at 26,684 points, 14th all time. He's averaging 27 a game this year. Let's say he does four more years. He's in that 32,000 neighborhood up there with like Dirk, and Michael Jordan. That'd be, he'd probably be top seven.
Wait, how many points does he have now?
Just under 27,000.
He's going to end up with 35,000 points.
Yeah, I was just saying maybe if he plays 4 years, he's fifth all-time, fourth all-time.
Yeah, but if he's adding another 8,000 points.
Yeah, yeah.
That's 35. Now, LeBron's probably going to put it up there at 43, 44,000 points. Probably so.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, right?
It would, if he plays two more good years, LeBron, he would be at 42 and a half.
Well, you want to put it away. You know, because Kareem, when he first broke it, I remember people, you know, even Chick Hearn said, that'll never be broken. And you didn't even register. It didn't register because to score that many points, you got to be healthy for 20 years. Just start with health for 20 years. Now, at an all-time level, you got to average, you know, at least 25 a game. Average 25 a game for 20 years, and you're going to play 75 games, maybe? I mean, just do the math. That's why it's hard to fathom that. Yes, yes, Paulie.
LeBron has as many points in his career as Larry Bird and Steph Curry do combined. Steph Curry's got a long way to go, but let's say it ended tomorrow. Larry Bird and Steph Curry at 40.
Yes, Marv.
It sounds crazy because you think of Bird and Magic, and they were so iconic, and they did it both probably within a 10-year span.
Yeah.
Which was insane. Like, they retired after year 12. LeBron would have been done for 8 years by now.
Bird was done at 33, I think.
So, Magic at 32, I think.
Yeah. Well, they forced Magic to retire, and then he came back. Now, that's when you had the Karl Malone, I'm not going to be on the floor and play with Magic. All right, let me take a break. Wright Thompson, the best sports writer in America, in my opinion, is going to join us. He did a deep dive on Joe Montana and what Tom Brady's legacy did to Joe Montana's legacy. We'll let Wright Thompson explain that. We will try to get some phone calls in here as well. We'll take a break. We're back after this on the Dan Patrick Show. Full Sail University, it's been 5 years since I started the Full Sail University Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting. In fact, 5 years ago this month, we welcomed our first students. Proud to say we now have over 100 grads employed in the industry all across the country. I'm going to be down there on campus in Orlando February 19th, meeting with students, also prospective students and their parents. We do something called behind-the-scenes tours every month. You get an idea to see what's going on at the school, what Full Sail is all about, what the Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting is all about. I'll be at this month's tour. So if you have questions about your son or daughter who'd like to get into this business, your degree is in sportscasting. You graduate with a BA in sportscasting. It is a great chance to learn more about the program and see Full Sail's campus. That's coming up February 19th. If you're serious about getting into sportscasting, it'll be a great event to check out. To reserve your spot, the behind-the-scenes tour, go to fullsail.college/DanPatrickBTS. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. The Kelce brothers, the third set of brothers to be both named first team All-Pro in the same season. Would you like to guess the other brothers, first team All-Pro, same season? Marv?
The Diggs brothers.
No. That's a good guess, though. Is Stephon Diggs joining us tomorrow?
He is.
All right, thank you, Todd.
How about Rocket and Quadri Ismail?
No. That's not, not
a fun guess. I really thought I had that.
Yeah. Quadri, too, by the way. Yeah. Not
I call him Quadri.
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 Seton O'Connor.
The Watt brothers?
No.
How can you steal that from me?
Yeah, that's right. That's really why I said it.
Okay.
The Bosa bros?
No.
Dang.
Right. That's a good guess.
First team All-Pro, same season. Kelce brothers, third set of brothers to be named first team All-Pro.
In the same season?
In the same, still in the same season,
this,
Marvin.
This decade? This millennium?
One is, one isn't. One I didn't realize, the other one I thought was easy. Paulie?
The Johnson brothers.
Nice try. You don't even know which Johnson.
Calvin Johnson and
his long forgotten brother, Lane Johnson.
Right. Matthews?
No.
Clay Matthews this Jr. and somebody?
This one is shocking that you don't get the one.
Frankie and Rocky Blyer.
Yeah. Rondé and Tiki Barber.
God. Oh,
bad on us.
The other one? One was a wide receiver. One was a tight end. Yes, Mark.
Shannon and Sterling Sharp?
Yeah. Yeah. I think we salvaged that.
Yeah. No, we didn't.
The Johnson brothers.
I was close.
He's the best sports writer in America. He's more than that. He's Wright Thompson, ESPN senior writer, saw that he did a long, well, he always does a deep dive. And he did a deep dive on Joe Montana. And I thought, all right, you got my attention here. Wright Thompson joining us on the program. What made you decide to do a deep dive into Joe Montana?
So I always felt like I didn't know anything about him, and I didn't really understand, I don't know, what made him who he was. Like, he just seemed like one of those guys who the more time elapsed from his playing career, the more of a mystery he seemed to me. I don't know if he seems that way to other people, but I just was curious what it was like to be and have been Joe Montana.
What was Montana's reaction to you wanting to do a deep dive?
I mean, he came around eventually.
Yeah. Joe doesn't like talking about Joe.
No, he does not. I just sort of figured if I never went away, eventually he was just going to have to deal with the fact that it's happening.
What was that first meeting like, that first conversation like?
Well, you know, I think he was curious why I wanted to know things about his psyche as opposed to about what it felt like to throw the ball to Dwight Clark. You know, you could sort of see that, like, okay, what is this? I mean, you know Joe, I'm sure, very well. I mean, he's lovely. You know, that there is this sense, at least, I don't know if you've ever gotten the sense around him, but, you know, that he is lovely, but there are universes below the surface. And so one of the things that, you know, I did one interview with him and had hoped on some level, like, hey, maybe that'll be enough, and then just kept going back again and again and again, because when you meet him, you do sense that, hey, this is a guy who has a really complex and serious interior life, and I would like to know about that. I mean, Ronnie Lott, one of the first things he said was, like, the key to understanding Joe is that Joe was an only child. And Ronnie Lott was like, so Joe lived much of his childhood in his own head, and then Ronnie looked at me and goes, and he still does.
Well, and I've been around him in social settings as well, and you would never know that he was one of the great quarterbacks of all time. There's nothing about him that exudes that, even his size. You know, I think they thought he was a kicker when he first showed up for the 49ers because he's so slight. But I also wondered about this, and we have Tom Brady, who is now that guy. Joe used to be that guy. Now, what does Joe think about where he is in the you know, pantheon of quarterbacks now that Brady has superseded him?
Oh, I mean, he hates it. You know, I mean, like, I think
does he say he hates it?
He said, you know how Joe is, he's like, but yes, absolutely. I mean, he watches the games. He, like the rest of us, wants to know why Pete Carroll didn't give the ball to Marshawn Lynch.
Okay.
You know, I mean, he was just like, give the damn ball to Marshawn. I mean, I think I spent a decent amount of time around him, and I think he's less jealous of the rings than he is of the fact that he gets to watch someone else sort of live his life that got ripped from him. And also, you know, these guys like dominance. I mean, there's a story in there about Walmart paid Dan Marino, Joe Montana, Johnny Unitas, and John Elway to do an event. And they went out to dinner afterwards. And, you know, they're laughing and drinking, and the check comes, and Joe Montana sort of smiles and is like, whoever has the fewest rings pays. And so they determine that that Joe had four and that Elway has two. And Unitas has one Super Bowl ring, but three NFL championship rings, which at that table counts as four.
Okay.
And, you know, I think Marina drops an F-bomb and has to reach for the check. and so, you know, these guys like the dominance. I mean, you don't get to be Joe Montana or Johnny Unitas or Sammy Baugh or Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes without wanting to be dominant. And, you know, so I don't think it's much of a surprise that he doesn't like being knocked off the mountaintop. The thing I found interesting, and, you know this so well, but bitterness is such a common affliction of once great athletes that it's almost most noteworthy when it's absent. You know, I mean, Joe DiMaggio famously was miserable. And so, and, you know, and Montana knew DiMaggio a little bit. And, like, I find it such an interesting continuum that, like, that these guys, they seem like names from the past, and yet their lives have something to offer, not just Joe Montana and Tom Brady, but Patrick Mahomes and all of these guys, because everywhere these modern quarterbacks who are going to play on Sunday are going, there are people who have been. And so, you know, it's interesting to see, you know, Joe working to not be bitter and to live in the sort of full majesty of his life, which is really incredible. You know, his wife, Jennifer, I'm sure you've met, pulls no punches when talking about her very complex man who she loves very much. But she's like, I think he's the happiest he's ever been. And that's really interesting.
But Brady's dominance and blowing past those four Super Bowl rings, and he's the greatest of all time, and it's not even a debate. I mean, we're debating, yeah, you know, Jordan and LeBron, and Jordan hadn't played in decades, and he's still holding that mythical, you know, place in our hearts. I was just wondering about that, that Joe has sort of been diminished a little bit here by Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Like, he's in that shadow of Tom Brady, who wanted to be Joe Montana playing for the Niners growing up.
And I mean, two things. I mean, one of Joe's kids, I thought it was a really savvy read, was just like, look, you know, I can see the heartbreak in my dad a little bit, and that he now wants to talk about football where he never wanted to talk about football. And, you know, that there is a sense of, you can feel something running through your fingers.
Yeah.
You know, but the other thing that is so interesting is that, you know, you come, that title, oh, this is Joe Montana, the greatest who ever did it. I mean, that starts to precede you into every room, like rose petals or something, you know, and there's a mourning when it's gone because, you know, as you know, Joe paid such a physical price. I mean, they literally don't know how many surgeries he's had post-career. It's somewhere between 27 and 35.
Oh my God.
And you know, he's had to sleep in this Velcro back brace. And I just love it because it's like, oh, Joe Montana is all of us, because his wife is like, you better wear that damn brace. And so he has it on at night and he's trying to unhook it one microfiber at a time so that it doesn't make any noise and wake her up. So she gives him crap and makes him put it back on. So I could just see Joe Montana there in the dark. You know, this is his new 2-minute drill. Let me just very carefully try to get this thing off. You know, like, and so you just love that idea. I'll tell you, I came away thinking, boy, if when I'm 66, this is what my life looks like, I will feel like I did a great job. One of the things that happened with the pandemic is all the Montana kids came back home and everybody was working from home and they were having big family dinners 3 or 4 nights a week. You know, they're 2 grandkids now, 1 on the way. Joe takes the oldest granddaughter to her swim lessons. I guess there's some like fancy club near their house in San Francisco. I just love the image of all these San Francisco moms with the little kids and then Joe Montana getting in the pool splashing. And his granddaughter wanted to ride on a cable car. And Joe had only ever done that once. And I love it because he was very sheepish when I was like, when did you do that, Joe? And he was like, well, it was a commercial and it was me and Tony Bennett. And he was singing, I Left My Heart in San Francisco. And I'm like, you know, that's not normal life, right? And so they took the little girl out to the streetcar and it wasn't a streetcar stop. And so the thing wasn't going to stop. And then the conductor, or whatever the noun is of someone who drives a streetcar, sees who it is and slams on the brakes. And so I just love the idea that, like, the great power and joy of being Joe Montana now is that he can make a streetcar stop for his granddaughter. And, like, that must just seem like such a magic trick to her.
He's Wright Thompson, ESPN senior writer, did a deep dive on Joe Montana. It's almost he lost his identity a little bit, where it was firmly cemented. He didn't have to have a sign or arrows pointing towards him because everybody knew that's Joe Montana. But then all of a sudden, who is Joe Montana to these other people now? Because Tom Brady did all of these things. Patrick Mahomes is going to blow by you. Is like, it just... I get it. And he can't go out and be competitive and play a game and say, see, I can still do it. And I'm better than Brady was. And I understand that. I understand where you're kind of lost a little bit there.
Well, and I also think that this is a complex thing that he's lost. Because he, you know, in some ways, you know, he's almost like a case study in a psychological journal. And that here was someone who was the very best in the world at something, and then had the ability to do the thing they did better than anyone taken away, had to deal with the just huge hole in their lives. Go listen to his Hall of Fame speech. It's unbelievable how honest and naked it is, and people just missed it. He talks about how he felt like the ceremony, he could hear dirt hitting his casket, like he was being buried alive, and that, like, he was not into the Hall of Fame weekend. Like, he felt like it was a funeral. Wow. And that, like, who am I supposed to be now? So I think the greatest of all time was an easy way to talk about a complex series of losses. And so, I mean, you know, I think if you really sort of get under the hood of it, yes, he's dealing with the loss of that very simple title, but also just with everything that means. I mean, what do you do when you used to be Joe Montana and you can't do that anymore? I mean, one of the things Jennifer says is that she worries that he thinks the best part of his life is over.
Yeah.
And that they've worked on that for a long time.
You know, when you dive into somebody, you do a profile, you know, you unearth all these great things. And I didn't know if Joe unearthed something through all of this that helps him, you know, that, you know, have some kind of epiphany or realization through all of it.
That's a good question. I haven't heard from Joe. I've heard from some three or four. I've heard from his kids who said they learned things and found it more emotional than they thought it would be. I mean, I imagine when you're Joe Montana, it's not really that big a deal to have a story written about you. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if he will approach it as, I mean, he's still in his head. He's Joe Montana.
Yeah, but you're not dissecting a game, right? You're dissecting him. So an outsider is looking at you under a microscope, whereas we used to just look at you and we would write about the game you played. This is life that you're analyzing.
You know, that's a very good question. I wouldn't let me write about me, for sure. I got real problems that don't need to be on the page. You know, I'm always very, very grateful.
If I gave you Brady or LeBron, your next one.
LeBron. One of the things this story is accidentally is a profile of the next 30 years of Tom Brady's life. And I'm not entirely sure he knows what's waiting. I mean, Steve Young, who you obviously know, who might be the most thoughtful retired athlete I've ever met in my whole life. I mean, just, you know, him talking about Montana and getting emotional because he had front row seats. And now that he's older, he understands he wasn't trying to, like, take Joe's job. He was trying to kill him. You know, for guys who take this as seriously as they do, mm-hmm. I think they both understand now stakes that they couldn't possibly have understood while they were competing. And, you know, Steve talked really eloquently to me about, like, every great quarterback wants to write more in the book, and you just can't. And you can't let it destroy your whole life trying to write more in the book. And, you know, talking about Joe, he said, you know, I think Joe is surprised that it turned out that what he wrote in the book wasn't enough. and that it's frustrating because he no longer has the ability to go add to it, and that if he could, he wouldn't abide this. And yet there is no mechanism for coming back.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's it.
They take away your pen. I mean, you know, they take away the football, but your body really takes you away from that opportunity to write any more chapters there.
And in some ways, Joe is lucky in a way that, you know, the NFL that Brady played in is obviously so different. One of the things I did is go back and watch old games. And I don't know if you've done that recently, but I was staggered by the violence.
Yes.
Like I'd forgotten.
Yes.
You think the modern NFL is violent because it is. But it is. I mean, this was unbelievable. I mean, they were, you know, the number of times he got hit helmet to helmet late, driven headfirst into the ground with Leonard Marshall and LT both on top of him was just unbelievable. And so his body made a decision for him that Tom Brady's body did not. And so in some ways, Montana got out and started building this new life that in the last 10 years has come to fruition. And, you know, Brady had to decide himself. I mean, you know Joe Montana. Joe Montana's a lunatic. He wouldn't have walked away. He's a totally insane person. He would have kept trying to win until they had to literally drag him off of the field, which is what they did. And so in some ways, that's a weird blessing.
Now he's Wright Thompson, ESPN senior writer, and it's a, well, as you've come to expect from Wright, it's well done, and you learn more about the person than you do the athlete, because I think that's really the story. And what you said about Tom Brady doesn't realize it, but Tom Brady should really look at this, because he might be looking at this in 30 years from now going, wait a minute, I'm not the greatest of all time, or what happened, or where's my place in history? It's great to talk to you, as always. I'm glad you're doing well, and appreciate you joining us, as always.
Thanks, Dan. It was really great. Thank you so much.
And that's Wright Thompson. Always wonderful. Great reaction every time we have Wright Thompson on. Yeah, Seton.
There's a really interesting theme that I've read a lot of Wright's articles. I've read a couple of his books, and he profiles like the biggest names in sports history.
Yeah.
Right? And there's an interesting theme running through almost all of them.
Yeah.
All of these like elite athletes who are like the best of the best of the best of the best are all miserable.
After their careers,
they're
over.
All miserable. Yeah. Every single one of them. Michael Jordan's miserable. Messi, he's not done, but they're like, he's kind of miserable. You know, everybody is just, they either stop playing or they get to the end, or there's something in there that's just like, they're just so unhappy. It's crazy.
I bring this up because Steve Young said it to me one time. When my career was over, I died. Like, that person died. Now you have to start again. You have to start your life again. Now, you know, we don't, it's hard for us to understand that. But for them, this is what you've done. Now you're 35 or 37, and that thing is dead. Now what do you do the rest of your life? Let's take a break. Last call for phone calls, what we learn, what's in store tomorrow. And if you're watching on Peacock, we're going to head to the Traeger Grills to see what Chad has in store for us. We're back after this on the Dan Patrick Show. If you own a business, it's been a bumpy ride. You've had the pandemic, inflation, but maybe there is help on the way. If your business has five or more employees, managed to survive COVID, you could be eligible to receive a payroll tax rebate of up to $26,000 per employee. And the beauty of it is it's not a loan, it's a refund of your taxes. The challenge has been getting your hands on it. So GetRefunds.com put together a team of tax attorneys highly trained in this little-known payroll tax refund program, and they have been incredibly successful, returning over $1 billion to businesses, and they can help you as well. And they do all the work. No charge up front. They simply share a percentage of the cash that they get for you. Businesses of all types can qualify, including those who took PPP, nonprofits, even those that had increases in sales. Find out if your business qualifies. Go to GetRefunds.com. Click on Qualify Me. This payroll tax refund program only available for a limited amount of time. So don't miss out. Go to GetRefunds.com. Good luck. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
My thanks to all of our great sponsors here today. PXG, Traeger, Tire Rack, Panini, Miller Lite. Chad and the Traeger folks just cooked up something that's straight out of a Flintstones episode. So that, I don't know, is this... What exactly is this?
That's a beef rib, Dan, and you either need like an arm brace or a spotter to eat that.
Wow, that is good stuff.
I'll hold it if you want to eat it.
Yeah, I'm going to need two hands, maybe three hands for that. All right, what's in store tomorrow on the program there, Fritzy?
We've got Stephon Diggs, we've got Trevor Lawrence, we've got Justin Herbert, and Fred Warner of the 49ers.
All right. Marv gets to ask a question, being the resident Niner fan. Yeah, Marv.
Already got my question lined up, too. You're not going to catch me off guard again.
Okay. You got 23 and a half hours to prepare.
I'm ready.
Okay. Do you want to ask the question now?
Oh, as a matter of fact, I don't.
Okay.
Gonna say, no, because Fred, look, right? I'm just right? Because it's
wait a minute.
Fred,
don't do this to him. We were going to Top Golf last night, and we were making fun of Marv because I gave him an opportunity to ask Debo Samuel a question.
I'm just saying, you in space, right? It's like Pop Warner, right? And then you, in the, I'm just saying, I'm a big fan. That's all.
And I said there was no question in there for Debo Samuel.
He barely wanted to talk to you.
Yeah,
I was
true.
Question. I was like,
that is true.
The hell?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if Debo came ready, you know, for that early in the morning, if he was ready to go. Ready to go. But that's all right. That's all right.
But we got Fred tomorrow. Hopefully a little more personable.
Yeah.
We'll be ready.
What kind of shades you got on there?
Oh, shout out to Chad from Traeger.
Oh.
Yeah. These are his. Chad's?
Okay.
And I was like, you know what? These are so nice. I'm keeping them.
This day in sports history, Paulie.
2009, A-Rod admitted they had taken banned substances from 2001 to 2003. Let's see.
But didn't he say he was under pressure to live up to his contract with the Rangers, and that's why he took steroids?
Yeah, I checked the drug testing policy. That is not a valid excuse. And I checked the paperwork.
By the way, we're here at the Giants Stadium, their spring training site. The bases are bigger this year.
That's right. They're like 4 inches bigger on each side. They're huge, and they're puffier, too.
Yeah, that's the first time that I've noticed this, that those bases are bigger, and you can see, they look larger. I think what they're trying to do is prevent the bang-bang play where somebody steps on somebody. Like, there's safeties involved in this. That's what they're, that's, I think, what their number one priority is. Yes.
They look funny. Like, it's such a, I don't know, they look too huge.
Too puffy.
This says that they were 15 inches square. Now they're 18 inches square. Huh. Home plate unchanged.
Back in my day, the bases were normal size.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember back when they used to play, you could slide right through somebody. That's.
What else do you have this day in sports? By the way, we mentioned Magic Johnson. It was 3 months after his announcement for his retirement on this date, 1992. He came back in the All-Star game, won MVP with 25 points, 9 assists, and 5 rebounds. Anything else?
Big day in Massachusetts. 1895, volleyball was invented in Massachusetts. And same day in 1895, the first college basketball game was played. Minnesota State School of Agriculture, which you wanted no part of, defeated Porkers of Hamline College 9-3.
The Porkers?
Yeah, the Porkers. Porkers did not get it done, only scoring 3 points, Fritzy.
The first player in NBA history to make 8 3-pointers in a game happened on this day. Anybody want to guess that Hall of Famer? We did not mention him, that he would have benefited from the 3-point shot for his entire career. Paulie?
Reg Miller?
Reggie Miller, no.
Oh, that's a good guy.
I'm going to give you the year. It was 1980.
Oh.
Yeah. Something just got real.
Oh.
Yeah, Marv.
Calvin Murphy?
No. Rick Barry.
Oh.
Richard Barry.
What did you learn today? Marv?
Joe Montana loves dominance.
Todd?
Joe Montana had between 27 and 35 surgeries.
Seton?
Joe, not happy.
Paul?
Sal Pal for commissioner.
What we learned brought to you by Discover. You can redeem your credit card rewards, and you could do it for cash in any amount at any time, and that's amazing. Learn more. Discover.com/redeem rewards. Terms do apply. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back here tomorrow on the Dan Patrick. One more item as we close out this Thursday show.
Let's go.
Every great day starts the night before.
Got that right.
And that means, did you get a great night's sleep? Well, maybe you did. You can get a greater night's sleep with a Sleep Number bed. The ultimate Sleep Number event is going on right now. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed plus special financing. You can also see things like your biometrics and how well you're sleeping with Sleep IQ technology. They give you daily tips how to improve your sleep. Go in and ask about your sleep number. My sleep number setting is 75. You sleep too hot or too cold, you're not alone. Sleep Number has innovative solutions. They have temperature balancing bedding, and it's the Climate 360 smart bed. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com/Patrick. Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League. Subject to credit approval, minimum monthly payments are required. See sleepnumber.com for details.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel... It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.